Welcome in to the Pick Aside Podcast. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki with you as always available on YouTube, youtube.com/@PickAsideESPN, and wherever you get your podcasts, please rate, review, subscribe. It is week 15.
Wow.
In the NFL.
That hits you like a sack of bricks.
Week 15 in the National Football League. Tyler, how are you feeling?
I'm fantastic.
Better than the Bucks.
Who could be worse? Who could be worse? I actually do have a question for you based off of that. If you're okay, let's say you're a fan base right now. Which collapse stings more, the Colts or the Bucks?
Oh, I'm gonna say Tampa because I think, boy, I don't know. Tampa's future isn't as sour as the Colts is now.
The Colts also, I think, at their peak had a higher playoff probability than the Bucks did. Because I know
right.
He got into the 90s.
So what I was going to, the angle I was going to initially take, this is a really good question. Well done.
Thank you. I try.
Initially, I was going to say Tampa because I feel like if you're a Bucks fan, it's more legitimate. You've won that division every year. Mm-hmm. You were the favorite to win the division entering this season. One of the favorites in the NFC early in the year. Baker was an MVP candidate, was the MVP favorite at one point. You know, they addressed so many needs in the offseason that it felt like they could be the one seed. Where the Colts, it was like we thought we were going to be terrible, and then we had this dream ride to start the year where you maybe just were like, this kind of fool's gold and it's fun, but it's like Daniel Jones and suddenly he's an MVP guy. So that one's like it's less surprising.
But 8-1 is 8-1.
Agreed. But it's like if you told me 9 weeks into the season – which of these two teams is more likely to collapse, Bucks or Colts? I would have answered Colts.
Yeah, I probably would have too.
So that's where I think it's less surprising. But the problem is the Colts pushed their chips in when they were 8-1. So it's not – they haven't only lost this season. They've lost maybe next season and maybe the season after because they're falling off a cliff to the point that they're 8-5 and they're a 14-point dog this weekend. Yeah. Because they have a 44-year-old quarterback. And it like they've gone so far south that you look and go, you don't have your own first-round pick. You don't have your own first-round pick next year. The guy you traded it for is hurt. And who knows how that's going to go. Like, once corners' lives end professionally, they end quick. So I just like the Bucks will be back. And you can kind of explain it away as, yeah, Baker Mayfield tore his labrum and is playing through it again. But he'll be good next year. The Colts, it's like...
The thing is, doesn't he tear his labrum like every other year?
I know, but I'd rather have the hope that Baker's going to be healthy than be the Colts and like, God, we have no first-round pick, and we don't have the ability to pay Daniel Jones, and Anthony Richardson sucks, and we're resorting to a 44-year-old so that hopefully Riley Leonard can be serviceable in 2026. Like, it's just terrible.
I will say the other part of Tampa Bay, I know they lost last night in excruciating fashion, but there is something to... You look at that receiver room when it's whole, you get Abuka, Godwin, Mike Evans, and then Jalen McMillan was back last night too, made a couple nice plays. Like, if you have a quarterback who's fully healthy, and especially one that can play at Baker's level with those weapons, and like Mike Evans still has it. He's still got it.
Well, and let's be like, their offensive line has been compromised all year. Gedeky's been hurt. Tristan Wirfs started the season hurt. They haven't been able to protect Baker. Bucky Irving died. They haven't really been able to run the ball. He's been back. He looked good last night in spurts. So just, I don't know, there was some weird stuff last night in the game where how Atlanta comes back from a three-possession deficit. It was unreal. And it was a credibility moment, I think, for Atlanta a little bit where that's the high watermark and let's just fire everybody now because, like, it's never going to – that was it. That was the moment for this regime.
All of these teams that get entire staffs blown out at the end of the year, there's always, like, a charity win somewhere down the stretch. Like, last year with the Bears, you got your charity win against the Packers on the way. I get that Eberflus was already gone at that point. But to clear everyone else out, you got your little win against the Packers. It happens every year. There's like the spark, and then you see like the star of the team on SVP or like the Thursday night primetime game recap show and all that. Like that was Bijan Robinson yesterday who maybe he shouldn't have gone on some of those shows.
Todd Bowles was a little upset after the game. No, I thought the big winner last night was Carolina. Because now, like,
Seriously.
Look, man, they're going to win the South.
Yeah.
It just, And I don't feel great about Carolina this weekend going to New Orleans, but twice against the Bucks, the way the Bucks have played, I think the Bucks are done. I think they know they're done. The winner of this division, like we talk about, the AFC North might be 8-9. The winner of the NFC South might be 8-9.
Yeah, seriously. Now the good thing, well, I will say, if the Panthers are going to win the division, they're at 7-6 right now. They'll have to get at least 9 wins, right?
They'd have to beat Tampa twice. Yeah,
they really only have to beat them once. They have to split with Tampa, and then they control their destiny the rest of the way.
So it's,
and they have New Orleans this week, which maybe is a little.
Well, yeah,
you look at the lines, because reeks of a trap spot.
But. Tampa's at 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, even if Carolina loses to New Orleans this week, which I do think is a distinct possibility. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'll tip my hand. I really like that possibility. You just split with Tampa and win your other game, and you probably will win the division.
Yeah. So.
It's stunning, man. The rest of the NFC, we talk about the NFC being a bear with like the NFC North and the NFC West. Then there's the NFC South and the NFC East, where it's like, well, somebody just please decide they want to win the division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Philly's not taking a hold of it, but even when Philly's giving it to Dallas, Dallas isn't taking a hold of it. It's theater, man. It's kind of like the theme of this weekend too, because this weekend is like every game is either a total dud or is like one of the best games of the year.
I will say I feel worse for Tampa than I do feel bad for Indy, because I feel like it sucks for a fan to. The thing about Indy though is like I'd rather have the front office that will push the chips in, and you can't. People are doing the thing now where it's like, oh, you should have seen this coming. That Daniel Jones would. Nobody could have seen that Daniel Jones would break his leg and then tear his opposite Achilles.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
The other part, too, is there is something to pushing your chips all the way in, and then there's something to pushing your chips all the way in like a modern football intelligence way. I'm not giving up two
first-round fair.
Picks for a defensive back.
That's fair.
And I get they play different positions, but didn't we learn that lesson with Jamal Adams, right?
Same like, team, too.
Yeah, seriously. Like, didn't we learn our lessons with some of this stuff? And I can't believe like we're still in this phase now where it's like, all right, we're gonna go out and we're gonna continue to make some of these moves. Like, if you're going to go all in for something like that, I'm going all in for a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Not to say that there was really any big time pass rushers that were available for two firsts at the deadline, but that's what I'm pushing my way all the way in for.
Sure.
I'm going all in for maybe a stud wide receiver. Obviously, no one's really trading a quarterback of that magnitude, a two first round pick quarterback midseason, but that's how I'm pushing my chips in.
I just feel bad for Baker.
Yeah. I feel bad for both fan bases. It sucks.
I feel for Baker because I feel like he's a winner. He's one of the toughest guys in the league. And it's just like, at some point, can something go right for this guy?
And listen, like, there is a chance. Now, okay, I want to throw this out, too. If Cincy really falls out of this thing, let's say they lose this week to Baltimore and they're, like, effectively eliminated, do they do Joe Flacco a solid and release him?
That is interesting.
And then you have Indy swoop in. And now, I don't even know if Indy would land him on the claims. Like, if I'm Houston or if I'm Jacksonville, right, I'm picking up Joe Flacco.
Well, do you block it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is interesting. Wow. And what difference does it make? You're not going to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco,
no, but
it might steady the ship
a little bit. You could get to the playoffs, I think, with Joe Flacco.
And you don't have your own pick, so there's no reason to not get to the playoffs.
Yeah. And the other part of it, too, like, you look at the AFC, every team's got an instability in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like Indy, if they can have, and Flacco's familiar with the Steichen system, Indy is one of those teams where they've got a great defense, and if they can just play like average offense, who's to say they can't get to the Super Bowl?
Well, and your point about the AFC being so unstable is it's why I think both of us love the Texans so much.
Yeah.
Because the offensive environment in the AFC is really bleak. I don't buy that the Patriots are some elite offense. I think they have an elite quarterback, but their offensive line is gone. They've struggled to run the ball at points all year. Denver's offense is terrible.
Yeah,
it's just like with Houston, I get the best defense in football, and I can win the race to 20 points. Like, the reason we feel good about that is because the AFC picture is so bleak.
Yeah, yeah, It's not like, honestly, our pick on Houston is not necessarily a bet on Houston. It's more a bet against the other six teams that they could see in the playoffs.
The one offense that you trust is legitimate in the playoffs would be Buffalo's, but their defense is so horrid that you just, who knows?
Yeah, so I've seen Houston go out and not just beat Buffalo, but frankly, it felt like
truck 'em.
Dominate Buffalo, even though the final score may not reflect it.
Okay, you want to get to the games?
Let's do it.
So I'm going to do it a little differently. Obviously, we're going to go through all of them, but I'm going to start with the more intriguing ones and then kind of double back because, like you mentioned, there's a lot of duds.
I think what do we have? We have four double-digit spreads and a 9.5 that's probably going to get to 10 by Sunday.
Yeah, like it's a lot of duds. So I'm going to start with the more interesting stuff, and then we'll double back for rapid fire on the other games.
Okay.
Most of those I have no interest in betting.
Same.
But we'll kick off right at noon on Sunday, which is Chargers Chiefs in Arrowhead with the 6-7 Chiefs installed as a 5.5-point favorite over the 9-4 Chargers who have a win in hand over the Chiefs. Totals 41.5. Chiefs games have been a slog all season. Nobody's betting them. I love Kansas City.
So do I. There's a couple of reasons. First of all, you look at the game temperatures. I'm looking at a lot of game temperatures this weekend, too. You're talking about sub 20 degrees for an LA team.
Yep.
That's not a place that they want to go, especially Justin Herbert with a bum hand, who's trying to make things happen and stiff arm guys last week with a bum hand. That works when you're in SoFi Stadium in beautiful Los Angeles. That ain't going to work at Arrowhead, where we've seen helmets crack open.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. And then you've got both teams dealing with offensive line issues. I will say this, though. Remember last week on Sunday Night Football, you had Wanya Morris go down. You were out both of your starting tackles to start, but then they put in Isapole after Wanya Morris goes down in his first series, and they were highlighting him because you thought a third string tackle, you're going to be picked on all game long.
Yep.
He actually held up pretty nicely against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, all things considered. So maybe Kansas City found something there. I'm also expecting a pretty heavy dose of Kareem Hunt in this game.
Now, the one thing that scares me is laying 5.5.
Yeah,
you're in the dead zone. Yeah. And I was just going to ask you, but the way that you're setting it up and the way I would look at it, which is Chargers having so many offensive line issues, down both tackles, going on the road, cold weather. You can't keep Herbert upright. You got to deal with George Karlaftis without starting tackles. Like, there's just a lot of stuff I don't love for the Chargers producing offensively. The problem with laying 5.5 with the Chiefs is you have to trust them to produce offensively.
Yeah.
And they haven't in 2 months. Do we just play an under?
What are we looking at? 41.5?
Like, is that safer than laying 5.5? I know we both like the Chiefs in the game, but is it safer if we just play the under?
Probably. 41.5 is such a low number in the NFL.
I know. And I wish if it were 42, I'd be a little more intrigued.
Yeah, you get to a better key number there.
I still like the Chiefs side.
Yeah,
man.
No, I do too. I still feel like this is probably like a 20-10 game,
and it feels like their last resort. I don't think it changes their outlook for the season. Like they've gone 1-4 in their last five games. A win here doesn't really help them. They need everybody else to fall apart.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a bad scheduled spot for the Chargers.
Yeah, All right. I agree.
Laying the 5.5
week
for the
two
Chiefs.
For LA.
Patriots Bills, I think, is really interesting.
Yeah.
Patriots in Foxborough at home. They won the first matchup, I think 23-20 final.
Yes.
But it felt like a bigger disparity. Like, the Patriots kind of controlled that game.
Yeah.
Totals 49.5 indicates a ton of offense. I think has to do with a lot of the injuries on the Patriots' defensive side and obviously Buffalo's ineptitude on the defensive side. I like the Bills.
I do too.
Okay, good.
Oh, we are walking hand in hand this week. Just the way that you look at what New England has done, and I'm not here to discredit what they've done, but if you take today's standings, you know the last time New England has played a team that today is above 500?
Probably the last time they played Buffalo.
That is correct. And that was October 6th.
Yeah, it's been forever.
So I just look at New England's a team who, like, you look at, even looking back at that game, it was a weird game. Remember all the turnovers in that game?
Yep.
So Buffalo had 11 penalties for a team that's relatively disciplined penalty-wise, and they lost a turnover battle 3-1, but had a nearly 35-25-minute time of possession advantage and lost by 3. So, like, yes, there are components of that game that it really felt like New England blew them out, but there are also components of that game where it was like Buffalo really should have had a much better chance, and Josh Allen had one of his worst games of the season. And this is a much more important game for Buffalo than it is for New England. Like, New England, you feel pretty good that you're in the playoffs right now. This is probably your only real stiff test the rest of the way. I'd have to look at the rest of their schedule. But for Buffalo, this is, I mean, you're living on the knife's edge every single week to get into the playoffs. And hey, if somehow New England does trip up along the way and you win this game here, you could find yourself still with an outside chance to potentially win the East.
Yeah, I also just think you get to December, this time of year, with a young team like the Patriots dealing with some injuries. A lot of these guys haven't played this deep into a season, still playing meaningful games. And you've got a really young quarterback who's played awesome and may, like, deserves to be an MVP favorite. But Josh Allen has been in this spot so much, and he's playing so well right now.
Yeah.
Just like asking me which team I'm going to trust in a spot like this, it is Buffalo. I am also somebody who thinks it's really difficult to beat a team twice in an NFL season.
Especially as an underdog twice.
So I really like the Bills. I'm going to lay the 1.5. Right. It was honestly quite close to a quad bomb, but I don't think I'm going to have one this week. Okay. If any, that was kind of the spot. I really just... The way Josh Allen's playing right now, it feels like he's on a mission. And I know it required Joe Burrow turning the ball over twice in the game last week against Buffalo. Cincy, they didn't cover the spread.
Yeah.
But only laying 1.5. I just like Buffalo to win the game, so I'm going to play him. Baltimore and Cincinnati. I don't know what to do here if I want to bet it at all.
Dude, I don't know what to do with Baltimore week to week.
I don't either. And I don't know what to do with Cincy.
I'd lean towards fading Baltimore every single week, but it's just like sometimes the opponent kind of dictates, it's probably best to stay away.
So the problem I had is I kind of like the Bengals to win the game. I know they already beat them, and big divisional home dog kind of stuff. Yeah. The problem is everybody's betting the Bengals, which immediately scares me off of it. I kind of like an under if I had to play anything.
51 the number, and a half.
The number's enormous. And
it's
going
to be like 10 degrees out there, too.
I know Cincy's defense bad, but I also think Lamar has not been good, and the Ravens' offense has not been productive. On the Bengals' side, we saw, like, Burrow can turn the ball over. They can have problems. I didn't like what Burrow's comments were this week at the presser. It
weird.
Felt a little dark.
Is this the Nance Romo game, or is this, like, Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt?
I have no idea.
Can't you see going to break, like, he finds Chase down the sideline or something, and then the announcer's just going, oh, he's having fun now.
Packers-Broncos has to be Nance Romo.
Oh, yeah, that'll be Nance Romo. But this will be this is Ian Eagle's call is going to be, he's having fun now on one of his touchdowns to, like, Burrow or Higgins.
You almost can hear it, can't you?
Chase or Higgins.
I think it's a no play for me. It would be the Bengals, but I'm just not that like it's gospel. I'm just scared everybody's betting.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I saw the bet data and I was like, ugh, damn. I was kind of hoping everyone would be all in on Baltimore, like making this kick towards the final stretch, but
bounce back spot for the Ravens after what happened last week against the Steelers.
I'm rooting for Cincy in this game, but I've got no dog.
I'm pulling for Cincy to win this division at 8-9. It would be fun, and I think they're a threat legitimately if they can get into the AFC playoffs. Like you wake up Burrow, you wake up Chase. Do you think Burrow's going to retire early?
I don't think so. I think he'd go to another team before he retires early.
I've been saying for months, and people laughed. I think Cap'n Hood laughed when I first put it up. I think he's going to demand a trade this offseason.
It wouldn't shock me. Yeah.
Like, he just seems sick of being there.
Yeah.
It would be under, and it would be Bengals, but I think it's a no play. I do think if you want to put teasers together, the Bengals make a great teaser leg.
Yeah. You get that thing over 7 and 7.5. Like, I like that.
All right, Cleveland, Chicago. Bears laying 7.5 points. It's the largest they've been favored by since 2020 against Jacksonville.
Largest at home since 2018.
Total's 39. This is going to be one of the coldest games in the history of Soldier Field with a potential negative 25 degree wind chill. I think it's Browns or pass, but I'm not especially excited to bet it. Mm-hmm. I do think under 39 is really nice.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I think this game's going to be held mostly on the ground. You know, going back and watching some of Cleveland's performances, too, I think that you're going to see the Bears, run the ball at Myles Garrett and run screens away from Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. Just kind of try to wear him out and take him out of the game altogether. I don't think they're going to put much on Caleb's plate, nor should they. Given the temperatures and given the opponent, like Cleveland's got a fantastic defense. I actually lean the other way. I lean Bears. I don't feel strongly enough to play it. This is a Cleveland team that could be without four of their five starting offensive linemen. Shadur is a quarterback that holds the ball for a long time.
Yeah.
And I know that this Bears defensive line doesn't get pressure, but they get the type of pressure that I think thrives against what Cleveland is going to present them, whereas it's a quarterback who holds the ball for a while. Like, the Bears got after J.J. McCarthy a little bit.
It's a good point.
Montez Sweat is the king of the four-second sack. The elite pass rushers are getting there in two and a half seconds. Mm-hmm. Montez Sweat's getting there in 3.5 to 4 seconds. And that's, I think, a situation that's going to present itself a lot in this game. I think Sweat could come away with 1.5, 2 sacks in this game. And Shadur, like, he's a running quarterback, but he's not the quickest guy. Like, he's gonna try to run the ball a little bit, but he's not the fastest guy back there.
I wouldn't call him mobile.
I don't have many concerns with him moving the ball. The Bears also are one of the best teams in terms of quarterback scramble percentage, too, defensively. They are the best in the NFL. They don't let it happen very often. Yep. Now, part of that's probably predicated because of Tremaine Edmonds, but he's not going to be a part of this game. But let's also not forget, this team lost at home to Tennessee last week, and they're being pumped up as some dangerous team. I'd lean Bears in this game, but I don't feel strong enough to play it because there's too many extracurriculars involved here.
The only reason I lean Cleveland is because I think this is not an environment that's going to be conducive to offense, and you might get a 14-7 final. I agree with everything you said about Shadur. I think everybody's a little pumped up with holding their chandelier about Shadur going for 360 last week.
I didn't think he played very well on watchback.
I watched it back too, and I felt the same way. Like, it just, I didn't buy it. He does hold the ball for way too long. I think the Bears can get after him a little bit, especially in cold weather. But the reason I go to an under is everything you said about how the Bears are going to do this. Not that much on Caleb's plate. A lot of screens away from Garrett. A lot of running at Garrett. What does that result in? A clock that runs.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is a game both teams are going to want to get out of pretty quickly, given the conditions. We're going to get in. We're going to get out. We're not going to go crazy here. Like, this could be 10-0 final. I have no idea. But I don't think that this is setting up to be a super offensive environment. So I am going to play under 39. Right.
Sounds good.
Do you want to talk about Washington and the Giants? It's a close spread, but it is a fucking nasty game. Russell Wilson's going dark mode.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that means.
To run third string quarterback. No, I mean, like, I really don't have any strong thoughts in this game. No Jaden Daniels, which is kind of odd to me because I still think he's a guy that needs reps in the league. And I get that he's coming off an injury, but Dan Quinn said at the end of the game, if this was a game of consequence, he's probably back out there. And for him to be ruled out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
After those comments, that struck me as odd.
I think it's just answering to the fan base with people asking, what are you playing him for when you get him hurt? You're going to end up losing him for next year. I get it. It's just, I don't feel good about this game at all. It's not one I'm going to watch, so I'm not going to bother playing it.
Yeah.
Rams-Lions, America's game of the week.
Yeah.
I really want to make this a big play.
Yeah.
It's a big game. I'm excited to watch it. Again, there were three games that I came close to just making a quad bomb. This was one, obviously, earlier. And then there's Packers-Broncos, which I was also interested. I'm really close. You could maybe sell me. I love the Rams.
I do too. I love the Rams. I just think, and that's not to say the Lions are a bad team, but I just think the Rams are particularly a bad matchup for the Lions. You're talking about a defense that can get interior pressure, especially against this Lions offensive line, and you get Goff not being able to step into some throws. I think multiple picks are going to happen in this game. And then who's covering these Rams receivers, too? You're going to feel the absence of Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch in this game.
It wouldn't matter if they had him, because you know what they can't do? They can't rush a passer.
Yeah.
And if you can't pressure Matthew Stafford, he's going to murder you.
Mm-hmm.
If your only answer for Matthew Stafford is, we have to blitz because we can't generate pressure with four, he's going to murder you. Especially with Puka and Davante Adams. Like, he's got his full complement. I don't think this is even going to be close.
Yeah. You want another little tidbit here? Jahmyr Gibbs has been fantastic. When the Lions are going well, it's largely because Jahmyr Gibbs is going well. If you look at the teams that Jahmyr Gibbs has greater than 6 yards per touch, you're talking about Tampa, the Giants, Washington, Philly, Dallas, Chicago, Cincy. The teams that Gibbs has fewer than 4 yards per touch, Green Bay twice, Baltimore, Kansas City, Minnesota. Is this Rams defense closer to the first batch I gave you or the second batch I gave you?
It's better than most of the second batch that you gave me. There are three defenses in this league that I think are elite. Houston, L.A. Rams, Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm going to make it a quad bomb. Fuck it. I think the Rams are going to house them. And the best part of it is everybody's betting Detroit. You hang a Detroit plus six out there going on the road. Look, under Dan Campbell, they have beaten the Rams. I don't think this is a spot where they're going to.
Yeah.
This is not a good matchup. 75% of the bets on the Lions. You got to be fucking kidding me. Making a 6-point dog on the road that public? I'm all over L.A. I'm going to make it a quad bomb. I don't think it's going to be competitive at all.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers-Saints. Panthers laying 2.5 on the road. The total's 40.5. This is just the most Panthers spot imaginable.
You mean Saints?
No, I mean Panthers in the sense that
win, lose.
Yeah. Like, I don't think they're going to win this weekend. I can't really explain why other than they follow up a good performance with a bad one. It's just been what they've been all year, and I think the line is telling you what to do.
It would be so NFC South if the Saints took 3 of 4 from the Panthers and the Bucks.
It would be amazing.
It would be so NFC South. Listen, I'm just staying away. If you made me bet the game in a pool or something like that, I would be taking the Saints. But there's also, like, sometimes you get to December and you don't know who's checked in and who's checked out.
Fair. I do think it's interesting in the Saints case because you have Tyler Shuck auditioning, basically.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily feel like they're checked out.
That's part of why I feel this. But sometimes it's like, I got to go get mine, too.
Sure. Well,
now, it works a little bit better when you've got a coach who is in like his first or second year and has stability. It's not like what you're seeing in Cleveland, where I think it could be a shit show because Stefanski's running for his life. Shador's trying to do whatever the hell he's trying to do.
Yep.
You've got a rookie class of guys who don't know any better, and then you've got Myles Garrett going for the sack record. Like, that's a bunch of guys who are just trying to get theirs and get out. Whereas this one, it feels like, all right, Kellen Moore, what's his? He's got plenty of runway. Tyler Shuck, he's auditioning for a job. It feels a little different.
I'm going to stay away, too. I think I would make the Saints a cover 5 play if I had to. Again, if you want a teaser, like, Saints are great. Get them up to 8.5. I'd love that. But frankly, the biggest reason I want to stay away is because I'm rooting for the Panthers to win this division.
Same.
I think it's a fun story. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to root against them watching this game, so I'm just not going to bet the game.
Yeah.
Packers-Broncos. We're going head-to-head. I already know. You have fun being on the public side. And I know, like, I'm the guy in this town doing this job that has chosen to respect the Packers more than maybe anybody else in this town doing this job.
I've respected the Packers as much as you have this year, too. Like, we are probably
us.
Like, the only Chicago Packer respecters.
I get it. The concerns going up against Denver's defense. You're in their house. You're playing at altitude. So why the fuck is everybody betting Denver? And they're stuck at 2.5 points. It feels the way I felt about the Bears last week. And I know it was nearly a loss, but it wasn't. Where everybody's betting the Bears. So why are you still a 6.5 point dog? The books are out there going, here, I got you a great bet. It's the same thing here. You got Denver hung as a 2.5 point home dog, and everybody's betting them. It just feels too much to me. Mm-hmm. Like the sports books are saying, I got you an awesome deal on the number one team in the AFC sitting at 2.5. And I get all the concerns. Can the Packers move the ball on Denver's defense as well as they could on the Bears? No. But can the Broncos move the ball on Green Bay's defense at all? They've been terrible offensively. Bo Nix has been brutal. Everything starts behind the line of scrimmage, and they don't run it especially well. I think this is a great smash spot for the Packers' defense. I like both. The Packers laying 2.5 and under 42.5.
I like the underplay here. I knew we were going to go head-to-head in this game. I get the gambling angles of it. From the football side, my big concern is Micah's never played in altitude before. This is his first time going to Denver in his career. And if you look at some of the big-time pass rushers when they go to altitude, Myles Garrett's played 4 games there, 0 sacks. T.J. Watt, rather, has played 2 games there, 1 sack. Trey Hendrickson, 3 games, 0.5 sack. Daniil Hunter, 2 games, 1 sack. Harold Landry, 2 games, 0 sacks. The one guy who has played there and gotten to the quarterback is Max Crosby. But he goes there every year.
Yeah, twice.
He knows how to train there.
Yep.
7 games played there, 10.5 sacks. That's super impressive. But he's a guy who knows what it's like to go there. He knows what it's like to train and stuff and go to a place like that. And the thing that worries me, you've got a Broncos defense that is getting after the quarterback at a historic rate. What, they've got 55 sacks this year. I think the next best team's got 44. Like, they are getting after quarterbacks. Only one quarterback this year with 200 or more dropbacks this season has a worse passer rating under pressure than Jordan Love. It's Joe Flacco. He's not even a starting quarterback anymore.
Oh, Jesus.
So that worries me. Like, I get it's Toyota-thon, Jordan Love, but I wonder, when he's facing pressure on the road, is he going to have one of those games where he's giving the ball away because there's too much pressure in his face?
Yeah, I wonder.
And listen, I get your side of this. I think the if we were just to purely take all the football part of it out and look at it from a gambling lens, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But the football stuff for me in this game is just too much to overlook.
I get the. See, I think my issue with it is you're worried a lot about the Packers' offense, which I understand. I'm worried a lot about Denver's offense.
I'm also worried a little bit about the Packers' injury report, too, because that is a laundry list, and Denver's pretty clean health-wise.
My biggest thing with the defensive side, and I get what you're saying with Parsons, but I've been so impressed with Jeff Hafley this year.
No, I have too.
In his ability to create exotic pressures. The way, like, he's deployed Micah Parsons not just as an edge, he's placed him literally off ball at like a linebacker position on delayed rushes. He's played him in the A gap. He's played him in the B gap. Yep. He's the most versatile defender in football.
Yeah.
He's also not an every down player.
Right.
So I feel like they can build in rest at altitude where they'll get him up the field.
If you have to build in so many plays where he's off the field, how effective is he then?
Understood. But it's the rest of their defense that has impressed me.
Yeah.
And I get, like, last week, the Bears leaned on him with their offensive line, got them really tired in their own building. What does that look like in Denver? One problem, Denver doesn't have the O-line the Bears have. Denver doesn't have the running game the Bears have. Denver's quarterback is a screen merchant right now. Like, I just, offensively, their production is so dismal lately that I'm going to take the better defense in the game with the gambling edge that I see. Like, and I respect the Packers at an incredibly high level. Mm-hmm. If Denver's such hot shit at 11-2, then why is everybody betting them and they're still a 2.5-point dog?
I get it. I'm excited for this game. Like, this is, it's kind of like a real prove it type spot, because I want to see what Love looks like against a defense like this. And I want to see what the Broncos look like against a team like this.
Okay, Sunday night football, Vikings at Cowboys. Cowboys lay them 5.5, the total's 48. Tell me why I can't bet Minnesota.
I'm not going to talk you out of it here.
Fuck, dude, are you on the same side as me?
No, I'm not, but I have a parallel play. I like under 48 in this game.
Okay, I do too. Hey, look, last week I ended up betting Minnesota. It was a secret play. It was off the pod. I said it would be Minnesota or pass on the pod, and then I heard Carmen going, you know, I like the Vikings. And I'm like, you know what? If Carmen's doing it and I like it, then I'm going to play it too.
Carmen's going to start doing meth soon too. You know that?
I'm going to start doing meth too then. No, it's just Dallas was a really fun story in the middle of the year. But I think with Flores' defense playing indoors, you get the ability to get after Dak a little bit. I like this to go under, and I know putting money on J.J. McCarthy right now is a fucking terrifying concept. He was good last week. He wasn't great. You don't extrapolate out and go, boy, he looks like a legitimate starting quarterback. He is still statistically the worst quarterback in football.
Yeah. Did you see the power ranking? I think it was CBS.
They put him behind Joe Flacco.
They put him behind Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. I'm like, what the fuck?
And someone was like, man, the disrespect.
Yes.
But like, he was saying it out of like, I get it.
Yeah, of course. It just, did we see a little bit last week where like, okay, we can loosen JJ against some bad defenses and just see what he's got?
Yeah.
I think so, and I think the thing that people are forgetting amid this Cowboys run where they've had a chance to kind of steal the NFC East, their defense sucks. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't think I like it enough to play it, but it is Minnesota or pass.
Yeah, I'm going under. Like, JJ is not good, despite what some of these performances have been, but he's better than Max Brosmer, and he's at least good enough to control the ball between the 20s and lead you on a couple field goal drives.
Yep.
It reminds me a lot of like what Mitch Trubisky was like with the Bears. He was good enough to move you between the 20s. He was not good enough to punch the ball in the end zone except against certain defenses. And I don't think, even with this Dallas defense being not strong, they do have their moments where they show up. Like Demarion Overshown will show up in moments. Quinnen Williams will show up in moments. Like, they still have some guys. They're starting to build towards something. This defense, it's not good, but it's probably a year away from being like top half of the league, I think.
And it's better since adding Quinnen Williams. And honestly, long rest. They played on Thursday against Detroit where they got popped. Now they get to go all the way to Sunday night. There's a rest advantage on Dallas, which drives me away from Minnesota. I'm not going to play anything here. I get where you're at with the under. It's Minnesota or pass for me, but I'm just going to stay away from it.
Cool.
Dolphins Steelers. Steelers laying 3 at home, totals 41.5. Typically this is pretty easy. Dolphins don't win in cold weather. One problem. They beat the fuck out of the Jets in cold weather last week and they've won 4 games in a row. Like, I just, are they good?
They're fun at least.
Are we at a point
playing
where
a little spoiled, like,
we got to respect Miami?
They're not eliminated. I will say this, I have a hard time seeing them turning the trick twice. Especially like night cold is different than day cold, too. Night cold when you're playing Monday night for a team like Miami, it bites a little bit more. And I think that's where Pittsburgh can pop them. Like, I like Pittsburgh a lot this week. Laying 3, they're still really playing for something. Like, Miami's playing for something, but they kind of see the writing on the wall.
It was Miami or pass for me. I don't like that they're the slightly public side. I'm going to stay away from it.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh, too, is like, their defense isn't great, but you've got, and especially their run defense, but Devon Achane may or may not play in this game, and even if he does play, he's going to be playing banged up in 15-degree temperatures.
Yeah.
Don't love that.
All right, rapid fire time. Seattle laying 13.5 or 14, depending on where you're shopping, at home against the Colts.
This feels like a community let's bet a Philip Rivers money line play. Like, college me would have sent a Philip Rivers money line play here.
I think it's Seattle or nothing.
Yeah, I can't play the game. I love the story, though. Like,
it is fun.
On the Flacco meter, 1 to Flacco. How close does Philip Rivers get to turn the clock back this week?
1.
Really? You think he's just going to get killed?
Yeah, I think he's done. Dude, you're bringing a 44-year-old who hasn't played in 5 seasons off the couch to go against a Mike McDonald defense on the fucking road? No, no shot. It would be Seattle or nothing for me.
I would love to see Rivers. I may be rooting for Philip Rivers more than I'm rooting for the Bears this weekend.
That's insane.
It would be so cool to see him pop off the couch.
It would be.
And you know what? Even if the Bears lost, like, if Philip Rivers goes out and wins, it hurts Seattle. So you're kind of playing level ground there with playoff stuff.
It would say a lot about quarterback play in the NFL right now if Philip Rivers could come win against a Mike McDonald defense.
It would say a hell of a lot about Max Brosmer, too.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee, San Francisco. Niners laying 12.5 at home, totals 44.5.
This is one of the least interesting games I've seen in a long time.
I agree. I don't care about it either way. Like, I just have zero interest. You know what else I have zero interest in is Raiders-Eagles.
Yeah.
And I think there's some stats if you go look them up. You get to December and you look at double-digit favorites in the NFL. Yeah. They cover way more often than you would think.
Even in general. Like, especially once you get to the second half of the season.
It's just, you got to lay 11.5 in a game with a total of 38.5. It's going
to
be
cold. What all of these are. They're like totals of 38 to 42 with double-digit spreads.
And I just, how the hell do you trust Philly right now against anybody? Yeah. They could be so toxic, they could throw this.
Kenny Pickett revenge game?
No, get the fuck out of here. Houston, Arizona. Houston's laying 9.5. The total's 42.5. This one is interesting.
Yeah.
You get it inside of a sort of key number at 10. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about firing a Texans bet.
I don't love it enough to play it.
I don't either.
There's not a lot of stuff I love on the board this week, but this is one that I don't love enough to play. And I could see this, too, being a Jacoby Brissett just starts flipping the ball to the other team.
Well, it's also, okay, like, Houston has clearly entered the chat. Is like, we were a couple weeks early, but now they have the respect from the market.
Yeah.
Are we getting a little over our skis making them a 9.5-point favorite against anybody?
I don't think so, because I don't think their offense is terrible. Like, we'd be getting over our skis if this offense was ass, but I don't think it's bad. I think it's got potential to be, like, top 10 good. It's probably more, like, around middle of the pack right now. But if we get a really good C.J. Stroud game, Would it shock you if they win this game 35-7?
No.
So.
No, I mean, they've done that to Baltimore in the past. Yeah. Like, they could easily truck Arizona. Jets-Jags, last game on the backtrack for the rapid fire. Jags are 13.5-point favorites. Of note, Brady Cook is the starting quarterback for the Jets. It's Jets or nothing. And I might bet the Jets here.
I'm not doing it. There's...
How the fuck are the Jags a 13.5-point favorite over anyone?
Because it's Brady Cook at quarterback. He's not the first string. He's not the second string. He's the third string. This guy's probably taken... We could probably count on our hands how many reps he's taken this season before this week.
It is a spot where I should just let Max Brosmer be the cautionary tale here.
Now, I think Brady Cook's better than Max Brosmer. Like, Brady Cook at least had stretches where he was a good collegiate quarterback. He may have even gotten Heisman votes at one point. He was definitely getting Heisman buzz going into his final season at Mizzou.
Yep.
Max Brosmer, people didn't even know where he played college.
Minnesota, right?
Right. But like, people didn't know until this year that he even played like big time collegiate football. If you can even call Minnesota football big time collegiate football.
There's part of me that's like, Jags shouldn't be 13.5-point favorites, and you get a backup that like kind of makes the Jets interesting. But then it's, do I want to have money on the Jets?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I do not.
It'll be like, oh, not even like a wish I bet it, but like, yeah, it's Jets or pass. And like, if I'm right, I'm cool with not having won anything out of my opinion.
Correct.
And if I'm wrong, I would hate my life if I had lost money again on the Jets.
Correct. All right. Anything else before we get out?
That's all I got.
We're going to go get lunch with Potsy if anybody gives a fuck. That'll do it for Week 15. We'll be back next week on Monday with a recap edition for the NFL Week 15. Also next week, playoff starts next week, right? Are we 2 weeks away?
Yeah, with playoff starts next week. We're going to have to do the show on Thursday, maybe even Wednesday, because the playoff starts Friday. We got Friday night games.
All right, so we'll do a show on Wednesday. We'll have college football playoff futures for you. Obviously, we'll have the first round games. We'll do all of that, and then we'll be back on Friday with an NFL edition.
Love it.
Beautiful. This is another episode of the Pick Aside podcast.